Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavanand Prabhu to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, 1st Chapter, 17 to 19 verses. Before Prabhuji joins to the call, I request Preeti Vilasni Mataji to take over and read the verses for today. Preeti Vilasni Mataji, over to you.
Reading from Canto 7, Chapter 1, Verse Number 17. Etat veditum icchamaha sarva eva vayam mune bhagavan nindayaveno dvijais tamasi patita. O great sage, we are all eager to know the cause for this mercy of the Lord. I have heard that formerly a king by the name Vena blasphemed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that all the Brahmanas consequently obliged him to go to hell. Shishupala should have also been sent to hell. How then did he merge into the Lord's existence? Dhammaghosha Suta Papa Arabhya Kalabhashanat Sam Prati ama amarshi govinde danta vakrascha durmatihi. Translation. From the very beginning of his childhood, when he could not even speak properly, Shishupal, the most sinful son of Dhammaghosha, began blaspheming the Lord, and he continued to be envious of Sri Krishna until death. Similarly, his brother Dantavakra continued the same habits. Shapator asakrit Vishnum yat brahma paramavyayam shvitro najato jihvayam nandham vivishatustamaha. Translation. Although these two men, Shishupala and Dantavakra, repeatedly blasphemed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, they were quite healthy. Indeed, their tongues were not attacked by white leprosy, nor did they enter the darkest region of hellish life. We are certainly most surprised by this. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada Ki Jai. Krishna is described by Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita 10.12 as follows. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. You are the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Abode and Purifier. Herein, this is confirmed. Vishnu Yad Brahma Param Avyayam. The Supreme Vishnu is Krishna. Krishna is the cause of Vishnu, not the vice versa. Similarly, Brahman is not the cause of Krishna. Krishna is the cause of Brahman. Therefore, Krishna is the Parabrahman, yet Brahma Param Avyayam.
Thank you, Mataji. I see still Prabhuji did not join. Now, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Today, we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, 1st Chapter, 17 to 19 verses. Verses are already have been read, Prabhuji. You can start with the prayers. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I think I have to. Can I read the verse again? Because I'll read the English. That's a good thing. And then I'll explain.
Sure, Prabhuji.
Yeah, that's good. Sure. 7:1:17, yeah. I'm having a little fever, that's why I got.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Only... Even though you are sick, you still given your time for us. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
I don't know. In India, there is a lot of fever now. Everybody is down.
Even so here, it is like that, Prabhuji. Everybody here also getting sick. Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, anyway, that's nice to speak. Okay, can I just see the verse also? Okay, yeah. This is 7th Canto. And we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, This is first chapter and 17th verse. Okay. So this is, yeah, I'll just speak invocation and then I'll speak. That will be a good idea. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Etat Vedetum Ichchama Sarva Eva Vayamune Bhagavan Nindaya Veno Dvijaistamasi Patitaha. Translation. O great sage, we are all eager to know the cause for his mercy, for this mercy of Lord. I have had the formerly the king named Bain blasphemes against the God, and that all Brahmins consequently obliged him to go to hell. Vishupal should also have been sent to hell. How then emerge into the Lord's existence? Next. Damgosha sutapapa arabhe kala bhashanat samprati amarshi govinde danta vakras chadurmatihi. From very beginning of this childhood, when he could not even speak properly, Shishupal, the most sinful son of Damgosh, blaspheming the Lord, continued to be envious of Sri Krishna until death. Similarly, his brother Dantvakra continued the same habits. Yeah, I think next to go. Saptora sakrit vishnum yad brahma paramavyayam svitro najato jivayam nandham vivasatustamaha. Although these two men, Shishupal Dantvakra, repeatedly blasphemed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, Supreme Brahman, they were quite healthy. Indeed, their tongues were not attacked by white leprosy, nor did they enter darkest regions of hellish life. He's certainly most surprised by this. Okay, purport. Krishna is described by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita as follows: Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Param Bhavan, the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Abode and Purifier. When this is confirmed, Vishnum Yad Brahma Param Aviyam, the Supreme Vishnu is Krishna. Krishna is the cause of Vishnu, not vice versa. Really, Brahman is not the cause of Krishna. Krishna is the cause of Brahman. Therefore, Krishna is the Parabrahman Yad Brahma Param Aviyam. Okay, just give me a minute. I just want to change the net. Glam kar diya iPhone in net. Okay, so these are nice verses, and I wish to speak on this. Now, this verse is, before I speak, I'll just play over here. And I also need to change my iPhone. Just a minute. Okay, yeah, here I am. Everybody can hear me clearly? Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji, koti koti dhanyavad pranam.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, I just changed my phone, that's why. Okay, fine. Yeah. So, Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Jakshun Tamena Tasmaya Shri Guru Namo. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Urvani Pachani Vishesh Navadi Panchakrishth. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So these verses are quite nice verses because Yudhishthira Maharaj is inquiring and he's surprised that Shishupal, he actually didn't go to hell. That's a surprise. Although he was very envious and he actually, Shishupal was a person who, as soon as he was born, it is said in these verses, Damghosha Sota Papa. His father's name was Damghosh. And as soon as he was born, He could not even speak properly, but he began blaspheming the Lord. It is said about Shishupal, as soon as he was born, he didn't even cry. Most children, they cry, isn't it? But he didn't even cry. And he just, the first word from his mouth was Krishna's namaskar. That was the first word from his mouth. No child is like that, but he was a special child. He was Jai Vijay, and his purpose was to be born as a demon. Although as a demon, he never forgot Krishna. That's one thing. And this is the most important point. He became a demon, but he never forgot Krishna. This is quite interesting because, and this is the point which is the answer to the question of the instruments. He never forgot Krishna. And that's why when he was born, the first word he spoke, Krishna is a rascal. Now this can show you, know, as soon as he's born in this world, he didn't do anything. He simply remembered Krishna. And when he died, he also spoke, he blasphemed Krishna. And of course, if this is a situation, whole life, you can imagine how much more he would have been remembering Krishna. That's Shishupal. So that's why Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, that's why the point is, Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking, how did he get merged in the Lord's existence? And Yudhishthira Maharaj is raising this point that generally, okay, fine. He Shishupal Dantvakar, okay, fine, you know. Now you might say, well, he was, you might say that he was, okay, fine, he was remembering Krishna 24 hours. But nevertheless, he was blaspheming him. That's quite interesting. So if he was blaspheming Krishna, then how did he merge into his existence? Why didn't he go to hell? That's a very genuine question. Because generally, he's saying in the verse, let's see here, verse 19. He's saying in the verse 19 that actually, he knows that Shishupal is remembering, and he's saying that Shishupal should have, people who blaspheme Krishna, they should generally go to hell. And people who blaspheme Krishna, they should generally be attacked by white leprosy. So, but nothing of this sort happened to him. So how is that? That's what he's asking. Let me just have a look here. Okay, so that's what he's saying. Indeed, their tongues were not attacked by white leprosy, nor did they enter the darkest region of hellish life. You're certainly most surprised by this. Now, this is quite interesting because generally people who blaspheme Krishna, they should go to hell. Just like Duryodhan. Duryodhan went to hell. It is said by Madhvacharya, he went to hell. He and all his brothers who were like blaspheming Krishna, did a lot of offense against Pandavas. He tried to kill Pandavas. And of course, they should go to hell. Otherwise, if they don't go to hell, then who will go to hell? That was the question of Yudhishthira Maharaj when the entire Mahabharata had got over. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this very simple question to Vyasadev, so Vyasadev informed him, well, Duryodhana and his party, they went to heaven. Vyasadev created an illusion to show Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, what is this? This is crazy. They should be in hell because they blaspheme Krishna, they blaspheme Vaishnavas. And if they don't go to hell, if they go to heaven, then this is a nonsense religion, this is a nonsense justice. I abandon this justice. Vyasadev said, okay, why? Now you have passed in the understanding of religion. And because you know religion, and the number one basis of religious life is to be not attached to religious life itself and to be attached to Krishna only. And that's why Vyasadeva said, this is nice. You're ready to abandon religion. Why? Because religion is not doing justice. Why? Because Duryodhana and his party is going to heaven. If that's the case, if religion doesn't do justice, then I'm going to abandon religion. because the purpose of religion is to do justice. And when that is lost, then I don't want religion. And that, and this shows that Yudhishthira Maharaj was not following religion fanatically or mechanically without any understanding. What's the purpose of religion? There are many people who follow religion without understanding the purpose of religion. They, so these people are called dharma avalambi by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Simply rules and regulations of free religion. Vyasa, they wanted to check whether Yudhishthira Maharaj understands the intricacies and the purpose of religion, or is simply attached to speaking truth, or attached to being a good person. And that was not the case, and he passed. And that's what Krishna is saying, Sar dharma anparitajya mame kamshan vraja. Krishna is saying, if dharma doesn't lead to proper justice, if dharma is not leading to attraction to Krishna, then it's waste. The purpose of dharma, there are two purposes of religion, dharma. Proper justice, nyaya, and the second is attraction to Krishna. And both things Bhagavatam says. What's that verse? Dharma sonishtavam sam vishvakseno kathasuya. Naotpadi dhariti ratim shramai vai kevlam. This is a verse. And the verse is, if you follow all the religious principles, and if you're not attracted to Krishna, then it's completely waste. So Yudhishthira Maharaj exactly understood both the purposes. He exactly understood. And that is why he was called Dharmaraj. And that's the point. Here Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking. Same Yudhishthira he's asking. He's interested in justice. He's interested in devotion to Krishna. And both things, in Shishupal's case, both things were not there. Neither is attracted to Krishna, he's blaspheming him. And neither justice is done. He merged into body of Krishna and he didn't go to hell. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is surprised. And by the way, this is quite interesting. Sukhdeva Goswami uses Yudhishthira Maharaj as a speaker of this question. Yudhishthira Maharaj asking, Srimad Bhagavatam uses, whenever Bhagavatam raises some questions, you should also see who is asking the question, because Bhagavatam chooses a proper disciple and a proper guru. Always. Yudhishthira Maharaj is a disciple and he's asking these questions. Now, if Arjuna would have asked this question, it would not have made such an impact on people. Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking. And these questions will come from Yudhishthira, definitely. He's Dharmaraj. And both things are not found in Shishupal. And that's why he's surprised. What is happening? Is there any problem with religion? I am Dharmaraj. I know religious principles, and this is not religion. This is not dharma. And these questions are of paramount importance when Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this. So what's happening? So what's the solution? There's neither justice, neither attraction to Krishna. But nevertheless, he merged in the body of Krishna. What's happening? And that is the point. And that is where seventh canto begins, by the way. These questions are purposefully put in this canto, first chapter, seventh canto, to set the theme that, okay, fine. So I have to make you remember this point. Seventh canto answers just one question, whether Krishna is partial or impartial. That's the question seventh canto is dealing with. And Jiva Goswami has written Paramatma Sandhar, and he raises this very question in Paramatma Sandhar. And he raises this question, okay, why I am writing Paramatma Sandhar? Why Paramatma, for yogis, Paramatma means super soul, isn't it? But for devotees, for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we don't like to define Paramatma as super soul because we are not interested in super soul much. I mean to say we are, but Brahmeti Paramatmiti Bhagwaniti. We are interested in Bhagwan concept. So if you see the word Paramatma from the eyes of Bhagwan concept, then Jiva Goswami says we define it differently. So Paramatma means Param Priye Atma, who is very dear. Param means very, Priya means dear. Atma, who is dear to our soul, that is Paramatma. You see, one who is dear to soul, that is Paramatma. So, that's how it goes. Param Priyatma. And Paramatma also means one who is very close to soul. Param Nikata. Atma. Who is very, very, very close to soul. In fact, Super Soul is so, in fact, God is so, Krishna is so close to soul that he sometimes called the soul of soul. So Paramatma is one of the names of Krishna. Jiva Goswami says this Paramatma Sandarbha is not dealing with Paramatma as you know, Super Soul. This Paramatma Sandarbha is dealing with Krishna. One of the name of Krishna is Paramatma because he's very dear to his devotees and he lives very close to his devotees right in their hearts. And then he raises his question, okay, Krishna is having all the qualities of Paramatma and Brahma, that is by Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Shaktite. So Krishna has also this quality that is impartial. As Super Soul, Krishna is impartial to all living beings. So as Krishna also, he should be impartial to all living beings, isn't it? Because all the qualities of Brahman are there in Paramatma. All the qualities of Paramatma are there in Bhagavan. Isn't it? So the qualities on lower platform exist on the higher platform. Just as we have this five rasas, Dasya, Vatsalya, Sakhe, Rasya, Sakhe, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, isn't it? And Shantaras, five rasas. So, Rupa Goswami says, Prabhupada says that, okay, Dasya Ras is included in Sakhe Ras. And Dasya and Sakhe Ras are included in Vatsalya Ras. And Dasya, Sakhe, Vatsalya are included in Madhurya Ras. That's how it goes. So the qualities of lower platform are there on higher platforms. And that's the point there. Similarly, the qualities of Brahman, Paramatma are there in Krishna. So Jiva Goswami raises this question. Okay, Krishna is called Paramatma. One of his names is Paramatma. That's okay. And all the qualities of Paramatma are there in Krishna. That's why also he's called Paramatma. So one of the main qualities of Paramatma is impartial. Upadrishta Anumantacha. So Krishna should also be impartial. But now the whole point is, Krishna is impartial, then the whole problem is 7th canto. This question. If Krishna is impartial, then Shishupal should go to hell. Isn't it? He's blaspheming Krishna. And he's not following any, he doesn't like Krishna. And justice not being done because he's not going to go to hell. He merged into Krishna's body. There's no justice. There's no attraction to Krishna. And he should go to hell. He should be attacked by white leprosy. So by the way, just a digression. This point of leprosy is there because who was that? Sam, in the Krishna's final pastimes, Sam put a gada in his stomach and he dressed himself as a female to actually insult rishis in Dwarka and make fun of them. So as a result of that, he got leprosy. So blaspheming devotees and blaspheming Krishna, you should be attacked by leprosy. That's what is written in scriptures. In fact, it is said in Garuda Puran, people who suffer from leprosy in this life, they have blasphemed Vaishnavas and they have blasphemed Krishna. There is no doubt about that. In some previous lives. So that's what. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is surprised there. So now this question sets the theme of 7th canto. And this question in itself, the answer to this question will prove that Krishna is not impartial. Krishna is not partial. He is impartial. He is having all the qualities of super soul. He is impartial. How he is impartial? That's what the answer to this whole question of seventh canto is there. So that's why then Sukhdev Goswami will relate. Okay, Shishupal and Dantvakra, they were like Jai Vijay in the last lives. And Jai Vijay got cursed for three lives. And then that's why they make Hiranyakashipu Hiranyaksha. And then this. So in Ram Lila, what they became? Jai Vijay? I think Ravan and who was that? And Indrajit? I just forgot.
Kumbhakaran.
Was that Kumbhakaran? Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, so Ravan and Kumbhakaran. And then in Krishna's pastime, they became Shishupal and Dantvakra. And that's why both of them are mentioned in this verse. Shishupal and Dantvakra. So then they go in the history. Okay, they were Jayavijay. They were cursed for three lives. And then after three lives, they have to go back to Krishna. We all know this whole pastime. So they were supposed to go back to Krishna. And that is why they got merged. Shishupal got merged in Krishna's body. So if there was anybody else than Shishupal in Dantvakra, and they would have blasphemed Krishna, and they would have got no attraction to Krishna, they would have certainly gone to hell. And the example is Duryodhan. He went to hell. Even though Duryodhan, Srila Prabhupada says, anybody who died on the battlefield of Mahabharata, they attained spiritual world because Krishna was present. But Duryodhan didn't die on the battlefield of Krishna, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He survived and then Bhima fought with him and then he died later. Krishna just left him somewhere. And then he went off with Bhima. And he said, okay, fine, let him die. And that's why he went to hell. So that was a result for that. That was justice, isn't it? That was good. Everybody liked it. And Shishupal Dantvakra, nobody liked it. So that's the whole point. That is why seventh canto relates the whole history of Shishupal and Dantvakra. Jai Vijay, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. And by the way, answering this question of impartiality of Krishna, this also brings about a chance to glorify other pastimes of Krishna, Prahlad Maharaj, and all the Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha pastimes, Varahadev, and all other avatars, they got glorified, by the way, by solving this question. So Paramatma Sandhar deals with all the questions related to Lord Narasimha, Lord Varaha, and other questions there. So that's how seventh canto deals, Paramatma Sandhar deals seventh canto. And that is why these questions are very important to us. So you might not see this concept in these three questions, the concept behind these three questions. We can read these questions and most of us, we know the answer to this last slide. But we don't know why these questions are set up like this in seventh canto, first chapter. And this is how we read Bhagavatam, by the way. Now I want to just digress to another issue relating to these questions. And the issue is how to read Bhagavatam. Now, these questions, right, in seventh canto, first chapter, they also teach us how to read Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam should not be read as prima facie. Bhagavatam should not be read just what we see. Bhagavatam is not that point. Bhagavatam is, Krishna in Bhagavatam says, Paroksha Bhadam Me Priyam. Krishna says, in Bhagavatam, the language is indirect language. In Bhagavatam, the language is not direct language. It is indirect language. And that is why in Bhagavatam, whenever you read Bhagavatam, you have to see behind the words, the concept behind the words, and also the emotions behind the questions. And then we can understand really Bhagavatam. Here, Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking these questions. What is his concept? His idea of asking these questions is impartiality of God. He wants to solve this question because religion can be destroyed. Just if you want to destroy religion, the number one cause of destroying religion is partiality. Anybody who is claiming to be religious and is partial, that is the greatest irreligion he can do. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is very interested in this question. So that's the concept behind this question. He want to solve this concept by asking this question. He could have asked other questions also. He could have asked directly, why Krishna is not why Krishna is not impartial? He could have directly asked, but he didn't ask. He asked this question so that his answer is solved, and Sukadeva Goswami gets an opportunity to glorify other avatars of Krishna. That was his idea. And what is his mood here? The mood of Yudhishthira Maharaj is that of understanding what is really justice. Can justice be done by being partial? Also, can Krishna do this? Can Krishna be partial and simultaneously do justice? And also, he wants to understand that, and he wants to convey to other people that the aim of religious principles is to develop attraction for Krishna. That's not done, then it's waste. So that is his mood behind asking these questions. And his mood is there to actually understand truth. And he knows that truth is not easy. Truth is sometimes contradictory. Truth carries itself, good truth in itself carries with it contradictions. So yes, Krishna can be partial and he can do also justice. That also Krishna can do. Although religion cannot be practiced without impartiality, but Krishna can be partial. At the same time, Krishna can do justice. And how he does? Well, Vrindavan, Vrajvasis, and his devotees. He's very partial to his devotees. I mean to say, you can say, no, he's not partial to devotees. Devotees surrender to Krishna. Devotees serve Krishna, so Krishna serves them. Devotees like Krishna, so Krishna likes them. Devotees leave everything for Krishna, so Krishna leaves everything for them. This is not partiality, this is impartial. But no, Vishwamitra Thakur says, no, he's partial. So because he athamam prabhajandetam sate bhajamyam, this doesn't hold for Vrindavan Vasis and Gopis. Because whatever devotees are doing for Krishna, Krishna is doing much, much, much more for devotees. That's a theme there. If devotees are doing 10%, Krishna is doing 100%. But he's showing 10% on the stage, 90% he's doing behind the stage, and he will never show to others that he is doing 90%, and neither he will tell. But acharyas, but devotees know, acharyas when they write commentary, they know what Krishna is doing behind the stage. And that's the purpose of writing commentaries. The commentaries are all about telling you what's happening behind the stage. Janma karma chame deva me mamati tatvataha. What do you mean by tatvataha? Krishna is saying, if you know my birth and pastimes, tatvataha. Tatvataha means basically, if you know my birth and pastimes, everybody knows my birth and pastimes, but if you know what is happening behind the stage, what's happening behind my birth and pastimes, the secrets, that is called tatva, the reality. If you know what's happening behind the stage, then you can come back to me. So Bhagavatam is all about telling you what's happening behind the stage. And these questions help Sukadeva Goswami to go behind the stage and tell you what's happening. So behind the stage, Krishna is partial. That's the whole point. Krishna is partial. And that's why Krishna is partial, but at the same time he's impartial, because on the stage he's impartial. So he can do justice while being partial, and that is Krishna. We can't do that, but he can do that. That is him. So that's the whole point there. That's why Yudhishthira Maharaj's questions are so important for us. And these 4 or 5 questions, they said the whole theme of 7th canto. If we don't understand these questions, if we don't understand the concept and the mood behind these questions, then we will never be able to understand what 7th canto all about. It'll be just be stories and some kind of course, I mean to say, there are concepts of bhakti, but what this 7th canto is intended for, that we will not understand. I mean to say, you can read a history book and you can learn English from that, and you can learn mathematics from that, by calculation of years and AC, DC, and BC, whatever. But if you don't understand history from history book, then it's waste. So we can get many concepts of bhakti from seventh canto, but those concepts you can also get from other cantos. Then that's why devotee says, in Bhagavatam, it's all the same. You know, there are stories, and the essence of stories is, okay, well, be attracted to Krishna and love him. Okay, that's the essence. But then within that essence, there are many subsets. There are many other concepts unique to every canto. That is why every canto denotes one of the limb of Krishna. Like for example, 10th canto denotes face of Krishna. 7th canto denotes, 7th canto is, your first two canto denotes the feet of Krishna. Like this, I think 7th canto denotes the waist and the stomach part of Krishna, or maybe the chest. I have to just calculate. So anyway, so that's 7th canto. So why they denote each limb of Krishna? 7th, first two cantos, feet, and third, fourth are thighs of Krishna. And then 5th, 6th are stomach and the waist. And then 7th, 8th, like this, chest and hands, like this, something like this. So why is that? Because every canto carries with it a particular concept. And that's the concept of this is impartiality. And when it comes to Krishna, in Paramatma Sandarbha, then Sukadeva Goswami says, well, yeah, he's impartial because he carries all the qualities of super soul. But because he's Bhagavan, he's beyond super soul. And that is why, although he's impartial, he can also be partial. But at the same time, he can do justice by being partial. That is Krishna. That is Bhagavan concept. That makes Bhagavan concept unique from Paramatma concept. And that is why Bhagavan concept is an upgradation of Paramatma concept. And that's why we say Parabrahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti. We put Bhagavan on the top. Because Bhagavan concept has all the qualities from lower level and additional qualities. That is why Bhagavan concept is most interesting and most pleasing to devotees. And we are all interested in Bhagavan concept. So this is how these all the questions are set up here. And I just want to end there, and I want to take some questions because these two important points are important, which I wanted to convey. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. A very wonderful explanation about this canto, how it is starting, and how Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking the questions. Thank you so much. For what reason he is asking, even if he is. And I just understood that it's Bhagavad Dharma. He can be partial or impartial also. So I just like the point, the lastly, which you told about this Dharma, how the people outside world, they understand. So by reading just Bhagavatam, everyone will understand, okay, it's only love for Krishna. But still, when we go deep inside, we will know what is the Dharma which the Lord is mentioning. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I could see Sivakumar Prabhuji.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, Mataji, maybe Prabhu is sick, right? We can skip the question and answers or ask him if he's
sick. Well, I think you can take some questions. That's okay. That's fine.
Okay.
Prabhuji. Have some time.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for being so merciful with us. Hare Krishna. So I think Shivakumar Prabhuji, you have raised hand. You can go ahead with your question. Shivakumar Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thanks. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Danda Pranam, Prabhu. Prabhu, one question on the partiality or the impartiality topic that was discussed today, Prabhu.
Yeah.
In Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, Prabhu, 14th sloka, the five factors of the action are listed, right, Prabhu? Out of which the fifth factor is the Paramatma or the Supreme Daiva. So when we say, we continuously hear that the Lord is actually, Prabhupada gives this example that Lord is like a judge who awards the results of the actions. But here, when we see that he is also part of the five factors of action, although in the capacity of an approver, how do we understand that, Prabhu, that he is also part of the, it seems he is inside part of the actions, also it seems at the same time outside of the action as a judge. So that part I'm not able to kind of understand, Prabhu.
No, okay, you're saying the five factors, the last is Daivam, isn't it?
That's yes, Prabhu, yes, Prabhu.
Well, he is there, but at the same time, he is doing everything detached. That is why he's part and he's not the part. Anything, if you do, Sridhar Swami raises this question in this verse, and I think Prabhupada also raised. Prabhupada didn't raise, but Sridhar Swami raises that how Krishna is involved in all the actions at the same time, he's not involved. So he says that's a quality we should learn from Krishna. He does everything in a detached manner. And if we are doing everything in a detached manner, then we are involved at the same time, not involved. That's the whole point there. And another point is, he is a fifth factor, but he doesn't impose his will on anybody. He is just helping others to fulfill their own will. He's just the Anumanta. He's just a sanctioner, isn't it? In that sense, because his will is not involved, that is why he will not be involved in that action. The laws of karma will not act on him because his will is not involved. And that's another point which Prabhupada raises. If you want to do any action, but if you don't want the reactions of it, your will should not be involved. And that's, by the way, from this, the entire concept of devotion comes. What is devotion? Fulfill the will of Krishna. Don't fulfill your own will. And if we fulfill our own will within devotional life, then what happens is, if we fulfill our own desires or will, then what happens? Then we'll be implicated in karmas, although we are practicing devotional life. So you see all these things out there.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Prabhu, just one more question, Prabhu, on the same topic. Now, I am a grahastha, Prabhu. I have kind of two roles, in the sense I have to carry out Varnashrama Dharma, also I have to carry out the Parodharma, which is the devotion service. Now, if I see that these two dharmas are coming in conflict, and if I drop out the Varnashrama Dharma to give preference to the devotion service, how do I look at that situation, Prabhu? Would I be still subject
to...
No,
that Krishna says, no, Sarvaran Paritajya Mame Kamsa. But the point is, as far as possible, we should try to follow both.
Okay.
But if there is a conflict and if there's a choice, then you should drop Varnashrama and take to devotion. But that should be the last option, you know.
Okay.
I mean, that should not be the first priority. Okay. So whenever there is a option, I'll drop Varnashrama. No. We should try to follow them both as far as possible.
Okay.
That's all.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. So there are questions in the chat, Prabhuji. Ananda Vilas Prabhuji is asking, what's a Tattva dictionary definition? Is it Tat and Tattva are same things?
Well, Tat means that. But Tattva is a different thing. Tattva means what is the reality of that thing, what we are referring. So Tattva comes from Tat. Tat means that. That can refer to anything. That can refer to material world, that can refer to Krishna, that can refer to Prakriti, that can refer to time, that can refer to soul. But then you ask, what is the reality of that thing? What is the substance of that thing? What is the function of that thing? What is the reality? Then from that Tat comes Tattva. What is the essence of that thing? That is Tattva. By essence, I mean, what is a composition, what is a function. So from Tat comes Tattva. That's the whole point.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Jyoti Takni Mataji is asking, how a devotee will realize the Paramatma presence of Krishna while practicing devotion? How consciousness has of them?
How was that? Can you repeat?
How a devotee will realize the Paramatma presence of Krishna while practicing devotion?
Well, Paramatma, I told you, Krishna's name is Paramatma because he is very dear to devotees. So while practicing devotion, if you understand the loving affection between devotees and Krishna, then you will be able to realize his name, Paramatma. That's all.
Thank you, Prabhuji. And how consciousness has a form? That is the second question.
Consciousness has a form? I don't know what's this question. It's not clear.
Mataji, if you can unmute yourself and ask a question. Jyoti Mataji, are you there?
Okay.
So I don't find any more questions on the chat box, neither raise hands. Also, Prabhuji, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for coming on the call. I think we can end the call here with your permission, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Okay. Unmuted. Once again, Prabhuji, I think Jyoti Takni's Mataji is trying to unmute. Just unmute, yeah. Can you unmute now, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna and Dhanvat Pranam to you. Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, yesterday we had the discussion about the partiality, and there this question was raised that everything that Lord has created has a form. So I just wanted to know how the consciousness also has a form.
Everything that is what?
Everything that's created is also has a form, what Mataji is saying.
Well, consciousness is energy, no? Energy doesn't have a form even in this material world. Matter has form, energy doesn't have. Energy is formless. So I don't know who said everything that is created that's having a form. I don't know what's this. It's a very abstract statement. Even in this material world, you see light is having no form. Heat energy is no form. That's energy. So there are many things which doesn't have form. So I don't know. How can we make this statement?
Okay. Mataji, I hope that is okay with the answer, right? Okay. So then, Putana in special case. Okay. So Deepika Kini, Mataji, are you trying to tell something? Okay. Jyoti Mataji is having some follow-up question, Prabhuji. So, would you like to go ahead?
Consciousness is material, isn't it, as she's saying?
Yes, yeah. Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Well, everything is having a name and form in this material world. That's true. That's given in Bhagavatam. But you have to understand that form can be... that form means everything is having a reality. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. Energy is real. Matter is real. That's how you understand the form. Form is not that there has to be something, some two hand, two eyes or some structure. That's not necessarily there. That's how we understand.
No, Prabhuji, my question is like, you made one short scene that you explained about the consciousness. Soul is like a light and soul is like a source. So the light which is... So, regarding that, I was asking because the term consciousness is affecting our devotion every day in out. So, is it a material, is it inferior energy of a Lord or it is a superior energy?
Consciousness is marginal energy, no? Jiva and consciousness, that's marginal energy. That's Tatas Shakti, that's clear.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Eternally grateful to you, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Prabhuji. So, Prabhuji, consciousness is actually the soul, right? So, the soul
consciousness is a symptom of soul. Soul is right there in the heart, and the soul navigates the entire body through consciousness. Consciousness is the energy of soul. It's just like magnet and magnetic energy. Soul is a magnet and magnetic energy is consciousness. And so we know the magnetic field also, isn't it?
Yeah.
And magnetic field is consciousness.
Okay. Deepika Kini Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Mm-hmm. Okay, Prabhuji, so Putana is a special case of mercy because she is with Mother Yashoda. I mean, to be with her means, or there is another place where all the demons are kept in Golok Vrindavan. There's a separate place
No. Demons cannot go to Vrindavan. Putana has become an assistant of Yashoda. That's all. That's a special case and How Krishna did that, nobody knows. Because she was a demon, but Krishna gave her mercy to set an example that he can do anything if he likes.
Okay, thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It's really very difficult to understand Krishna. So this one topic of partial, impartial is very confusing, actually. So
yeah,
at one point,
that is why these questions are asked. You know, that's how whole canto is dedicated on this question.
Yeah, I just understood at last, which you told in your class, that it's Krishna. He can do whatever he wants. So that's what I understood. So if he wants to be partial, he can be partial. If he wants to be impartial, he can be impartial.
Yeah,
that's the concept of Bhagavad Dharma. So very nice thing, Prabhuji. So I'm really very grateful to you, actually. The inner meaning of the concept, you just drive through through your lecture. So that's really very wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the call, even when you're not well. So you're giving us your time. Thank you so much for that, Prabhuji. And we want your association in future also. With your permission, we'll end the call here. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Let's pay to Prabhuji. Vanta kalpatri prashta kripa sindhu pevacha patitanam pavanavya Vaishnavetu namo namaha. Ananta koti Vaishnavrindu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His Grace Keshavanand Prabhuji ki jai. I would like to unmute everyone.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much.